Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
I just wanted to share a little from the Word of God, and I'm trying to find my that I'd put the scripture here. Here it is. But next Sunday will be Palm Sunday. So come, we will have a palm ready for you. Hosanna. It's when, see, this we celebrate the time that about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, where the people, the crowd, throw their clothing on the streets where Jesus comes in riding a donkey. Hosanna, save us, O King of Glory. And it's good at every Easter season, I want to go deeper into the revelation of the blessing through the blood of Jesus. What happened at Calvary? So, I won't be, Pastor Bonnie will be here, but I had to put on my calendar to go and bless a church in Baltimore, that wonderful, wonderful historic congregation, but I saw the pastor and considered him a real dear friend. But he was unexpectedly, the Lord took him into the heavenly realms and glory. And so not too many days ago, so the church asked if I would come and bless them and give them some extra direction. So I'll be there. It was unexpected. But you can wave a palm on my behalf. I will be somewhere else. But I wanted to make some comments about the season and how we need to come into the joy of this whole, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is extra anointing to come into the blessing of Abraham, that the curse is broken. May we have a new revelation. Each of you, this is part of your possession. It's not just certain leaders or a few of us. It's all of you have an inheritance through Calvary, through Jesus and his mighty name. I will read from Matthew chapter 21. And here it says, when they had approached Jerusalem, verse 1, and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied to them, tied there in a colt with her, and untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so this is the triumphal entry, and you find that in Matthew, Mark and Luke and John, the references to this wonderful prophetic event that Jesus is being praised. People are saying, Hosanna. Say Hosanna. Hosanna. And you will get to do that with palms next Sunday. With this, then this is the week after Palm Sunday, we come to Good Friday. And then that's where the Lord is crucified on Good Friday. And that's where the exchange happens. These are awesome events that shout out salvation throughout the ages, in every age, in every time frame, that the Lord's invitation for all of us is right now. God, Jesus says, come. Father's love is here. He does not want anyone to perish, but all to have everlasting life. So these are the events that are the foundation. We just are not making statements out of the blue. There is certain major events that occurred that give you the foundation. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has obeyed God's word to the fullest, and he laid down his life for us. And so in every time frame, we need to be instruments of sharing the salvation message to everyone around us. And right now, our focus is on Jesus, and be confident of what has happened. May the Lord give you revelation, not just knowledge and a bunch of facts that you believe in, but revelation is where it becomes your personal possession, that no one can take that away from you. You know that you know that you know that you know that you know. And as a young pastor in training, I was 1972. I was going to graduate school, and I had a profound experience which culminated in my getting very sovereignly filled with the Holy Spirit. I had come to Jesus. I had been saved. I had been baptized in the Indian Ocean, on the coastline of Kenya, Africa, right on the coast of Mombasa, small town in Africa and Kenya. And so I was totally convinced of Jesus and my salvation in him. And yet I needed a deeper experience, a deeper knowledge of it. And the instrument God uses is the Holy Spirit. He gives you, he shall bring you into all truth. So then the experience God used was, and I apologize for repeating some of that I may have said before, but I was in graduate school at Texas Tech University. By the way, it won a major basketball event, I think, and for the nation, which the first time ever. Texas Tech, it was a great university, but it never won anything. I was so tired every time, went cheered, you know, and they would get defeated. But it's emerged in major ways. So this week, it had the victory in the basketball thing. I think they'll be national, could be national champions in a few days. Huh? Monday night. Okay. I don't usually watch it, but I will watch that. So I was going to the university graduate school. I'd graduated from a Bible Baptist university, gotten my bachelor's, and I was doing graduate school, working towards a PhD, and hoping to. And then the Lord apprehended me. And the event he used is bringing the news that my mother had terminal cancer in her bones, and she was dying, and she had just had a few days to live. And it broke me, but my request and her only thing was, I want to see my son before I die. And it broke me because I didn't have any money to go see her. And I felt so limited and felt I failed my mom. And on the third night, the Holy Spirit came and filled me. And it was the most supernatural. It filled me with so much joy. And I was singing. Suddenly started singing in a language I could not understand. And believe me, I didn't know what was happening. It was just very supernatural. And then I was taking a graduate school course at night also. And there was a nun, a Catholic nun, who was studying things with me. And I took her aside. I said, Sister Marsha, I remember her name. This and this happened to me. Am I going mad? And she started jumping up and down and saying, praise the Lord, brother. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. She was a spirit-filled nun. It was so wonderful. And but then the voice of the Lord got clear, and clearer and clearer, very powerful. And the Lord summed up the third day. The Lord said, pray for your mother. And I was debating the Lord. I said, she's in England. I don't even have money to go see her. How can I pray for her? He said, I am the healer. You pray for her. And so I prayed. And a few days later, I got the letter official informing me that the doctors went in and found that every portion of any cancer, it was in a bone. There's not one trace of the cancer. And she lived 26 more years. So that was a miracle. But in that experience, I knew Jesus is Lord. Jesus is healer. Jesus is deliverer. And a revelation entered in, not just here, but the truth descended right there. Put your hand on your tummy. Say, right here. Not here. Now, it's okay to have nice notes and have head knowledge, but it must be a truth that is just etched inside you. No one can take it. So I started fellowshipping with some pastors because I loved the Lord, and people started listening to me. When I would share, one of the strange things that I didn't understand, I would get requests to go out different places, groups, churches, and share about Jesus. And as I would talk, ushers, different people would suddenly be standing, walking, and they would fall down. And they started, I would go near people and they would fall over, and I would say, what's wrong? What's happening to me? If you're not around, it'll shake you up. Anyway, around people, eventually I realized. But at that time, I would fellowship with some pastors. And sometimes there was someone who was in such demonic oppression. They asked, he was asked to come to this group of pastors and pray. And suddenly, a demon started speaking out of this person. And they phoned me. I just had 3-4 hours sleep the night before because I was ministering. And they phoned me and said, Brother Mahesh, will you come, please? We thought you would be here, but this demon is speaking to us and we are frightened. And I said, you are all pastors. I'm just a junior. But you pray for this man and command that demon to come out. And he said, we are scared. He's talking to us. I said, that's why God, Jesus said, I've given you authority. cast him out. I said, we are afraid. Please don't argue with us. Come. So I was able to go to that place, and they were hiding. All those guys were hiding in this laundry room. And I said, they had told me, come in the back door. So I had come. And so I said, where is the demon guy? He's out there in the living room. I said, what are you doing here? Hiding in the laundry room. And I went in there and confronted that demon. And suddenly the man started twisting and the demon started. I said, don't do that. Get out of him. And then with a great, and then the demon came out. But the reason I'm sharing is that the difference was, and I mean no better. I mean, I honored those guys. But I had a personal revelation that Jesus is Lord and that his blood, I had his blood covering me, and no weapon formed against me can prosper. I am the one carrying the authority. And in the name of Jesus, whatever oppression is there, you have to go in Jesus' name and through the blood of Jesus. So there is I sense that I don't want to take too much time, but there is a culmination of events happening together that the dark is getting darker, but the light will get more powerful. Be ready for fresh authority from heaven. Put your tummy, pat your tummy again. Here. Say here. I have authority in Jesus' name. So when you see oppression, be ready to pray for people. And then focus. I believe the Lord is changing our focus. Last week I put it in a different way about Jesus being the Alpha and Omega. But I said it's about him. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and God loves you. He wants you to succeed. But there is a transition season we're getting where there is a new strength, foundational strength that God is imparting to you and to his church. You are part of that. And you have authority. Say authority. Through the blood of Jesus. And so the focus is on Jesus. And with it comes a flood of joy. I wanted to read from a scripture from Philippians, which says, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3. This is the apostolic prayer of Paul, who is right now in prison. And he says, as he thinks of this Philippian church, he loves them and he's so thankful for them. And he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. Joy. Say joy. This is the joy chapter in Philippians. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God has started a good work in you, okay? And Paul, the apostle, was saying, I'm proud of you. And be confident that as God has begun a good work in you, don't you get, smallest little thing, you start focusing on it. I want to assure you that he has started a good work and he's going to complete it. Be confident that he is in the process of making you a king and a priest before our God. So in this season then, I would just make certain recommendations so that you carry your joy, that you are imparting authority and deliverance, and you are carrying the banner of Jesus, that you have authority. Say, I have authority. And that you're walking with joy. Say, joy. And this is the season for the Lord to impart great joy and authority. So here are some basic things I would recommend. Do not let little things bother you. People get offended or hurt or get focused on the little things. Know that the big things, say big things. In that incident that I talked about, we had many other things. And the more I went to Africa and other meetings, I realized the bigger you make Jesus, the smaller the demonic things will get. So Jesus, just say, my God is a big God. And every day, your job is to make God bigger and bigger and bigger. And don't get entranced or captivated by small, annoying things. You are being commissioned to be a servant of the Most High God. Do not, with focusing on little things, you will slowly lose your victory and your confidence. So that would be one thing. And put first things first. Realize, don't lose the order in which you put your priorities. Don't worry about things you don't need to be worrying about. Do not be a perfectionist and start condemning little things for the smallest little infringement. These are things the enemy sends to get you out of your joy. You don't have to be right all the time. These are little things that just keep you at the atmosphere around you of victory. Don't have to be right all the time. How many of you know someone who always has to be right? And be there are husbands who want to raise their hands, but then know that that hand will be cut off. So when nobody's watching you, they're raising their hands. Realize you don't have to be right. These are just little annoyances that the Lord would help adjust. This has never happened to me. I am, and also, I need to confess that I may have a weakness towards a lying spirit once in a while. What did you say? I didn't say anything, honey. Do not compare yourself unfavorably to others, it's a guarantee of instant misery. Don't have a chip on your shoulder. And learn to take some of the small things that the enemy tries to attack. Take it in pay. Make that as part of your pacing. Jesus is covering your imperfections. And if some of these traits seem familiar, choose this day. We choose the joy of the Lord. That the joy of the Lord is our strength. And what this chapter 1 caught my attention a few days ago. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first then till now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think of this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So he is looking at these believers and said they bring such joy to the apostle. And he remembers the good things. He focuses on the good things. And so it was a choice, even as he was in prison. By the way, it's hard to believe that he's writing these happy letters while there are four Roman soldiers chained to him. He's in chains, and he is the most joyful of apostles. That's hard to believe, but it's an amazing thing. He has believed in the exchange at the cross, and his focus is on the Lord. Then his focus is on how he can bless the local church, and he's in love with people, with the Lord, and the situation he's in does not matter much to him. The focus has changed. And that's the example that I felt like. Focus on the positive. Focus on the complete work of Jesus. Focus on the awesome destiny we have in Jesus Christ. That this Easter, God is at work. He has delivered. He is delivering. He shall yet deliver. When we were, I'm afraid I've shared here and in thousands of times, but when we have four children, wonderful, but my first son, both my sons were both terminal when they were born with some of the greatest difficulty. But when I remember the journey that Bonnie and I have taken, you wonder, Lord, it's like Tevye, I'm a fiddler on the roof. Lord, I know we are the chosen people, but can't you from time to time choose someone else? And so we, for a season, thought, oh, Lord. I mean, anything that could go wrong was going wrong with our baby. The number one son we had, well, he was a baby. I mean, you say things can't get worse, and it got worse. I mean, and his condition got worse and worse. And so he had a six-hour surgery, and he was in intensive care. And he was screaming in agony. And the part of the torture we had was, your son is going, I mean, I wish that could just lied to us, but they didn't, they're supposed to give us truth. So they said, well, your son is the most horrible pain any human can go through, but we are not able to give him any pain meds because his heart would stop. And you see your son screaming. And then suddenly there was a golden light that came in. It was singing light. It was living light. And it's hard to describe. It was the glory of the Lord. That's why Bonnie and I often talk about the glory, because we have seen it around. And as it came, his screaming stopped. And we saw, and we saw before us this screaming baby that had just come out of surgery, six-hour surgery, suddenly stopped and started smiling. And the word came, by his stripes, you are healed. By his stripes, my son was being healed. And Bonnie and I both sensed, right then, Jesus was taking our son's pain and agony on the cross. And even though the instruments showed he was in the most horrible agony, he was sucking it up 2,000 years ago in a way we could not understand. But I don't have to understand. I got to just flow with it and say, thank you, Lord. You are doing something awesome, taking it, the pain. And we saw this. And so I just want to testify that God is at work. He is delivering. He has delivered. He shall yet deliver. And so when you go to this time frames when we have to, all of us have to go through these certain seasons of challenge. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Calvary. Focus that he has done something awesome, wonderful at Calvary for you, for your children. And there was a, in that context then, one of the things I just love, there was a wonderful pastor in San Diego, Calvary Baptist Church named S.M. Lockridge, and the Lord gave him a revelation as he was helping people who have to go through from time to time some challenges. And it says, he wrote this out, and I wanted to share it with you, Pastor Lockridge's vision. And he said, it's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday is coming. For us, we saw Ben is suffering agony. But Sunday is coming. Resurrection Day is coming. God raised Jesus from the dead, alive forevermore. King of kings. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The counseling is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't know that Sunday is coming. For us, Sunday was when they did the x-rays again and found the dead cells in my son's kidneys were resurrected. And he was dying, and suddenly Jesus turned it around and he was alive. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The Romans are beating Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know Sunday is coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit burdened. But you see, it's only Friday, but Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil is grinning. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The soldiers nail our Savior's hands. To the cross, they nail our Savior's feet. Then they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king, and the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday is coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father. Left alone and dying, can nobody save him? But it's Friday, and Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The earth is trembling. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. Satan's just laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But you see, it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is coming. Say, Sunday is coming. Amen. Let's stand. And this is the adventure. Whatever today, some of the challenges that you may be going through, some hurts that some of you have been carrying, we can prophetically and confidently tell each other, it is Friday, and Jesus is in the grave. But the angel of the Lord is about to roll that big stone away. It's Friday. Turn to your neighbor, say, it's Friday. But Sunday is coming. Amen. Shout it out. Say, Sunday is coming. Prophesy to your neighbor. Say, Sunday is coming. Where the resurrection power of the King of Glory is exploding to heal, to deliver. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.